Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we usually have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, but he's not with us yet, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, July the 16th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. And I do see that Dr. Tim has joined us now. I would just announce that you're usually with us, but you weren't. So welcome, Dr. Tim.
Thank you.
So Michael will be with us here in just a few moments. So let's do an introduction for those of you who are maybe new to the show. It's called Mind Shifters, and it's about shifting your mind. And we use several tools. Our key tool is the Aramaic Forgiveness, the Reality Management Worksheet. Forgiveness not being that we let other people off the hook. And I hear Michael's phone echoing here. Let me turn it down. Okay. I had gotten this morning a thing from Alan Cohen had actually written it, but it sounded just like it was coming from our work, and it was talking about the thing that happened in Charlotte and the people coming together where it was intended to be like a racial war, and then those that were the victims' families, they came back and said that they forgave the guy, and that there were several comments coming flying around, you know, about, well, how can you forgive? And he, I'm sure, took it from this work as well. It's the same source. But he said, you know, it's not about the other person, but it's about yourself. And that if you think you can't forgive another person, then do it for yourself. Because what true forgiveness is going inside and removing the anger, the fear, the hostility, the grief, the pain, all of those things that are going on and creating your mental, physical, emotional diseases. And it really has nothing to do with the other person. It doesn't mean that, you know, you overlook whatever it is they've done, that you, you know, let them get by with it. A lot of times it requires accountability, but you can't do that from the space of your fear and your hostility, or you'll do something that you regret. Tim, do you have anything to add to that? I'm looking for the actual article while I'm talking at the same time.
Well, as I've said so many other times, it's wonderful to see the same basic message coming from so many different places. And Alan Cohen is just one of many people who's been studying from wisdom schools for decades. And wisdom schools have been alive on the planet for thousands of years. And the true wisdom is the same wherever you encounter it. Guy Finley gives a definition of wisdom. He said, one way to think about wisdom is that it's the gradual erosion of the illusion that I'm separate from anyone or anything else. All the wisdom schools that have ever resonated with me are basically saying the same thing, using slightly different words, different paradigms or parables to get the story across. But we all recognize each one of us can look at the very same circumstance or have the very same circumstance happen to us, and each one of us can create a distinctly different response to those outside events. And for somebody who's willing to observe what that means, it means each of us has the infinite capacity to choose the focus of our awareness in each moment. And what we choose to focus on literally creates our emotions and our experience of life in that moment. So yeah, someone can come up to me and say some horrible things or steal my property or hit me or try to hit me. And that's not a good thing. That's disrespectful or it's violent or it's immoral or whatever. And at the same time, I can be aware that their actions are not causing my response. One example I had one happen recently was, I know in dealing with a certain person that they have significant mental and emotional issues. Some would call it autism, some would call it Asperger's, and I've known this person for years. And I know that in dealing with this person, they can have mood swings and have a tremendous difficulty controlling their response emotionally, mentally, physically, when they get triggered. And I've had this person recently in my space swearing, name-calling, throwing things. And my response has been one of compassion. And it's compassion because I know the person and I know their history. It's compassion because I've seen them do loving things before. It's compassion because I don't believe that someone or something outside of me can cause my response. And I see at many different levels how we're all the same. And perhaps most importantly, my response was compassion at that moment because I was having a good day. I didn't get triggered into the old conditioning. I understand that there are days when other people do things that are nowhere near as aggressive or vulgar in front of me, and I have a knot in my stomach or an angry response ready or a quick bitter comment to throw at them. And I also know when that happens, it's not about them. It's about me. So, did you find your article, Jean?
I did. Thank you. And he starts out, like I said, the first paragraph, he's describing, you know, what he's talking about. And it's the situation in Charleston, South Carolina, where the guy killed 9 people in the church. And that the families got on there and said that they forgave. And it's like, how could such a heinous act be forgiven? And he says, perhaps we can bring the matter to greater clarity by illuminating what real forgiveness is. Let's start with what forgiveness is not. It is not condoning or excusing, allowing, approving, accepting, or being indifferent to acts of unkindness, unconsciousness, or evil. Nor does it mean that we should deny the pain that such acts cause, or let dangerous people roam the streets to hurt or kill again. Forgiveness means that we refuse to indulge or perpetuate the hatred that causes people to do hateful things. To hate the hater means that we stoop to the unconsciousness that moves the hater to destroy. Forgiveness calls us to offset acts of darkness by shining more light into the world. Darkness has never eradicated darkness, only light has. Gandhi said, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. Somewhere, somewhen, somehow, someone has to stop the cycle of pain. Forgiveness means to not allow ourselves to succumb to the smallness that has kept the world trapped in tiny boxes. To choose the high road, even if our companions are few. To model relief rather than clutching to sorrow. Forgiveness means that we identify with our deepest nature as spiritual beings rather than our human frailty. How challenging this is for we who find ourselves in human bodies, in a world consumed with racism, nationalism, and religious superiority. The families of those murdered must have suffered terrible pain, and yet they chose to rise above it, to offer the world a model of release rather than revenge. Such an act sends a wave of release into the universe that activates the healing that we sorely need. A Course in Miracles tells us that when you keep someone in the prison of your judgment, you have to sit at the door of their cell to make sure they do not escape. And now the jailer is in prison as well. At the very least, forgiveness is a gift to the forgiver. If you have a hard time forgiving someone, forgive for your own sake, if not theirs. We all have someone or something that we have a hard time forgiving. If the Charleston murders had happened to one of our families, how many of us could have come forth with a statement of forgiveness? Another teaching from the Course in Miracles comes to mind here. The holiest spot on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. To take a situation where hate and revenge could be so easy to fall into, even condoned and supported by the masses, and use it as a fulcrum for release, emanates light into the darkness that can alter the lives of all who behold it. The Charleston killers sought to start a race war, but instead the act opened the hearts of the nation. President Obama flew to Charleston to eulogize the dead and plead for awakening. People of all races sympathized, offered condolences, and prayed for the family. Ultimately, the killers' act did not alienate the races, but joined them. We are all in this together. Every day offers each of us 1,000 opportunities to practice forgiveness, not just lip service, the kind that heals. May we all find strength in our hearts to walk the high road such that hatred no longer finds a vessel through which to hurt humanity. Like I said, that's by Alan Cohen. And that leads right into, I see that Camille is in the chat room, and she had asked a question day before yesterday, right at the end, and we didn't have time to get to it. And so this leads right into it, so I'd like to just go with that. And she had said that she had heard Michael even say that he had to forgive or let go of people not doing their work and just release it. And she was like, how do you do that? How do you let go of some things like that? And it brought to mind actually the movie Amish Grace, where it was in Pennsylvania several years back, and a guy, the milkman, had gone in and shot 10 girls in an Amish school, and 5 of them died. And there was a scene in the movie, and it's a true story, where the wife, the killer, killed himself afterwards too. And so the Amish community had come to her to see what they could do to help her because she had had such a loss. And she was just like, how can you forgive him?
Just keep breathing. Don't try and talk yet.
Big breaths. Big breaths. We're holding your space.
And this one mother said when she realized that she would not see her children again, 2 of her children were 2 of those that had died. She said, I have to forgive as soon as it comes to my heart to hate. And she said, I do it for me. And she said, I may have to do that every 30 seconds. So, Camille, it's a process. We forgive, and then we forgive again, and we forgive again until we're done with what's going on in us. It has nothing to do with the person outside of us. And I hear Michael has joined us now.
Yes, I have, and I want to put in a little bit of clarity when I talked about forgiveness around people not doing their work. I wasn't talking about anything to do with forgiving them. You know, people are going to do what people are going to do, not my business to hold judgment about them. But I was talking about my own process of, here I am presenting this wonderful thing that I know will change your life. Where I'm applying my forgiveness is to my frustration at people turning away from it when it could change their lives. So that's when I spoke of it, it had nothing to do with I'm going to forgive the person who's not doing their work. It's really not my business. My business is what comes up for me. You know, has it got to do? And you know, we could look at a thousand variations on the theme worksheets that I might do around that. Maybe the worksheet might be that them not doing their work means they don't listen to me. So that might be a worksheet on being listened to. It might be my worksheet around, well, obviously this isn't good enough and therefore I'm not good enough. So it might be two worksheets there, one about this isn't good enough and one I'm not good enough. It might be, you know, a worksheet around being ignored. And so my worksheet would be around being ignored. That would be the topic or the subject of the worksheet. So around any given issue or situation, there might be a thousand different files in the mind where when we apply forgiveness, we remove the catalyst that brings up in us that which is less than love for us, so that we can stand as that space. And you know, I've kind of come to the point with the work now where I'm real clear. My job is to deliver it. What people do with it is up to them. It's really not my business. But that would be an example of some of the things that I'd be about working on forgiveness. And, you know, I know Alan Cohen. Alan Cohen's done Why Is This Happening to Me Again. It's probably been 25 years since it has. We've been on platforms together in the past. And I would love to see it. I'll actually drop Alan a note and talk about, because there's still the conversation going on about forgiving them. And, you know, you listen to most of the conversation, and it's about, you know, well, I know that I need to be moving this energy in me, but as long as I'm conversing about them and forgiving them, I'm still off base. I'm still directing my mind in a place where it's not going to produce the full result. And that's an awesome article by Alan. Thank you, Alan Cohen. He's just done some awesome work in the world. And, you know, Vladimir Lenin, the thought of Vladimir Lenin comes in here where he says, the way to destroy a culture is to change the meaning of its words. And if I change the meaning of a word forgive from a tool with which I go inside myself and remove my pain, to a tool where I let somebody else off the hook because there's pain inside of me, then I'll go around talking about forgiving them. And unfortunately, that's just not the process. And what it does is it leaves people in their pain and turmoil. And you know, my thought for today's show was to talk about the quantities of unresolved pain that there are on the planet. I was talking with Michael Coughlin this morning, and looking at some of the people he's been working with the work down in Boca Raton, and people who he looks at them and says, I've been there, I've done that, here, I know how to get you out of that. And people turn away. Why do they turn away? Well, one of the reasons I think they turn away is because the thought process goes something, well, you know, I've already done everything. I've already done it all, and nothing works, so this can't be resolved. And of course, if I don't have the tools, that's true. It can't be resolved. But once I come across the tools and I start to use them, then whatever the issue is, it doesn't matter what it is, it can be resolved. But until the mind gets it's possible, then they'll look at thing after thing after thing, tool after tool, and go, well, yeah, but I've already done everything. Well, I've already done everything. And one of the things with this process, with these tools, is for people to stay around long enough to build the brain cells for, you haven't done everything yet. You haven't canceled the driver for your pain. And with someone else I was talking with this morning, and I happened into their space, and this is a person in, you know, 70 plus years of age who's just sitting in tears. It's like, gee, what's happening? And it's going back to an issue that took place over 30 years ago. And the pain that's been carried around for 30 plus years, and people are just carrying this baggage that is so destructive to tissue, so destructive to relationships, because whatever dynamics we refuse to resolve in us will attract and play out relationships through those dynamics over and over and over again. And, you know, the thing I was processing with Michael this morning is just the quantity of unresolved pain that is totally and completely unnecessary. If people simply had the tools, then they'd walk through those things that they carry for decades and decades and decades and harm their own tissue structures with that energy, harm their relationships, destroy their relationships, destroy family systems over things that are just not even necessary to carry around if one had the tools to unload it. And for me, that's one of the things that motivates me to take this, to make it available in a practical, usable form. But you know, if I renamed the left side of the car the right side of the car, and I renamed the right side of the car the left side of the car, and I were to give someone who knows nothing about cars instructions for driving, then when I said, well, you get into the left side of the car and you take a hold of that round thing in front of you, this person would get into the left side of the car, which, because I've changed the meaning of the words, they're in the passenger side. And gee, in the glove box is this little round thing. So here they are trying to steer and drive the car using the little round thing in front of them on the left side of the car. When you tell people you need to forgive them, it's that insane. And to shift out of the generational pattern and belief that forgiveness has got anything whatsoever to do with letting somebody else off the hook for what's happening inside of us is such a block that holds people in totally and completely unnecessary trauma. And so we invite everyone who chooses to do whatever you can do to bring the tool forward. You know, our commitment is global awareness that forgiveness is the tool of removal. It's the tool for going inside yourself and removing what doesn't belong. It is a specific step-by-step technology that can be learned. It won't be engaged in by someone who says, yes, I know, I need to forgive them. Yes, we should forgive them. Watch the movie Amish Grace. It's such a powerful example of forgiveness. And even though they're still talking about forgiving them, there is one monologue that one of the fathers of one of the girls gives where he talks about the internal process and what needs to happen inside of ourselves. And that when we do that, we're able to come forward as true human beings, even in the presence of what one would call their enemy. You know, when we hear the Greeks saying, love those who hate you, do good to those who despitefully use you. Again, a word switch has taken place. We've been told that love is something we should do to somebody else. And so if I have the pain of a loss that I haven't forgiven, and that person resonates or brings up that loss, I can't even start to resemble what the world calls love them. And really, it means approve of them. I can't do that, and I'm setting myself up for failure when I'm told to do that, or whoever's telling me to do that. I say, stop loving your neighbors, please. Stop loving yourself, stop loving your children, stop loving your parents, stop loving anyone, because you can't. Love isn't a verb. It's not something we do to each other. It's what we are. Start on the path of experiencing yourself as love, removing from your structure, forgiving from your structure, what takes you out of your original nature, love. Now you can be love in the presence of your neighbor. And when you can be love in the presence of your neighbor, you are a healing force for your neighbor or for your enemy or for those who despitefully use you. It's a totally different game. It's a difference between trying to steer the car with that little round thing on the glove box and trying to steer the car with the thing called a steering wheel. It's a difference of night and day. Don't love anybody. Learn to remove from your structure everything that prevents you from experiencing yourself as love. And then when you stand in your true beingness, in that original blessing of being the state of love, take that to the world. When you spray that energy on the world and everything that you engage in energetically impacts everything and everybody in the world. If someone resonates rage in you because of the terrible thing that they've done, your mind says, stop and go, my mind is telling me that I'm enraged because of the terrible thing that they've done. What was that Michael Rice said was denial? Oh, yes. Thinking or speaking as though something outside of me is the cause of something inside of me. Oh, so you mean when I say I'm enraged because of the terrible thing you've done, I'm in denial? Yes, that's where you are. And what's the impact of denial? The very pain that I want to remove and forgive is now hidden from me. I've dissociated from it through my denial. So now if I'm in the presence of a neighbor and I'm enraged, my mind tells me because of what they've done. When I step into responsibility communication with myself, I'm going to stop and go, this person did something that I think is really despicable. And when someone does something despicable around me, it resonates my rage. I'm going to apply forgiveness to my rage so I can be the space of love for this person who has despitefully used me. Now I'm following that command. And that command is the most sane command you'll ever come across. I was listening to a radio interview one time with an atheist, and this atheist, not having a clue, you know, having totally blown out everything Yeshua taught and not having a clue of the genius that's there, says, these idiots that go around following this guy that say to love your neighbor, man, what a bunch of fools. No idea that what he was actually saying is, folks, in any circumstance you find yourself with anyone, you have the option of maintaining your human life, love, in a conscious, active, present state. When you do that, everything in your physiology will change. Your rage, your fear, your guilt, your sadness will begin to disappear. The instant you decide to fill your mind with information about somebody else, however, that process stops because now you're in denial. So I stop, I breathe, I have something to forgive here. Then you actually get to the point where you start thanking the neighbor who can show you something that's in you that's less than love. Then the game really changes. So that's where we want to head with the work. Any thoughts on that idea, Jeannie?
No, it's all perfect. I totally agree. There was one other thing that I thought of that you had mentioned after the show the other day in regards to Camille, and I was actually chatting with her about it, and she said, you know, that she knew that it wasn't about forgiving them. You know, she was talking about doing what felt like a surrogate worksheet for her son and his doubt here, and we had talked about that a little bit on the show deck for yesterday, and then so what I told her was what you and I had talked about, that she might want to look at some aspect of over-responsibility, that, you know, part of it was, you know, self-blame or guilt or something being raised at time. But then also that leads into the second one, and that it is genetic, that we get stuff from your parents, grandparents, whatever, and pass it on to our kids. And that while you can't do their work for them, they still have to do their work. That by doing what comes up for you around it and the part that you feel like you're responsible for, it opens the space for them to walk through easier. And, you know, he still has to do it and walk through, but that she can change her part in that genetic line and let go of some of that guilt and self-blame, that doubts and fears or whatever that they're both carrying around.
Exactly. Yes, definitely, Camille. If you work toward what is the energetic contribution that you see patterned in your son that you have made. And I think you'll open a space much wider for him and for yourself if you forgive us to that, rather than trying to do worksheets in the stead of your son. And Camille, if you're on, I don't know if you know this, but you know there's a Skype button on here. And if you've got Skype on your computer, you can just click on Skype and you could be talking to us too. And we'd love to hear your sweet voice. I don't know just how many days it's going to take for that little package to get to you, but it is in the mail and on its way. So hopefully you'll receive that soon. I noticed that the address didn't have the word France on it, so I added France because I figured, gee, I don't know if anybody in the Ozarks is going to know where this location is. But anyway, we'll see that it gets to you safely. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Okay, we do have a caller, and it's
before we go to the caller, let's just check in with Dr. Tim and see if he has any thoughts to share on the current conversation that we just went through.
Well, I did kind of an intro on very much the same thing, and I think we're all on the same page, and I'm complete.
Awesome. Well, let's go with our caller then. Say hello.
Great. It's area code 901. You're on the air. Is this Brenda?
It is Brenda. Good morning. How are you all doing?
Hey, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm really interested that in your talking about your issue around people not listening, because
yes.
I committed to do 5 worksheets a day for 45 days. However, I keep falling asleep.
Processing on consciousness, eh?
Right. So, but I've also found out that once I do my worksheets, then I do my Tai Chi right afterwards. And it's amazing because when I started doing still point breathing, I realized that as I was releasing energy, I started to yawn. And I mean major, major, major physical yawns. And so
right.
I get through the worksheet and I mark down each time. I just put HY, like huge yawn. And then I go straight into the Tai Chi and it just seems like I'm yawning the entire time. So I'm thinking I'm additionally supporting the move out of energy. But the things that worksheets have been doing the last about 2 weeks, and I get at least one done a day. I don't always get. This morning I did get 4, but I had a trigger that needed to have 4. And around the issue of listening, which I found was connected to a parent who told his spouse, when he was dying, told the wife that he had never loved her. And then that led into, and this is my parents, and it led into the issue of not listening. And so it was a connection of, if no one loves you, then they don't listen to you, the whole validation thing. So I had an opportunity or situation which arose in which my homeowners board made a decision, a legal decision, without discussing with me. And I had been keeping the manager appraised of everything that was going on. And yet she had not passed on the information. And so they sent me a letter. And my irritation, rage, frustration, et cetera, was around the issue that no one wanted to listen to me. So I spoke with the board president and explained to him my frustration with having not been asked to come in and explain what the situation was at the time, since I had been keeping him appraised of everything from the very beginning. So he invited me to write a letter to the board explaining what I did to him. So I did that, and I delivered it last night at the meeting. And they have executive sessions after the board meeting in which they discuss private information. And so they had invited me to stay for that session and answer any questions that the members might have in regard to the letter and the explanation I had given them. So I sat in on the meeting, and then I had one of the pilots came to pick up some documents, and I walked out of the meeting, got distracted, or allowed myself to be distracted, and instead of going back in the meeting, I went up to my condo and promptly went to sleep. Now, my head while I was at the meeting, I had shut off my phone, not shut it off, but I put it on silent vibrate and turned the volume down really low so it would not interrupt the meetings. I never changed that meeting. So when it came time for me to speak, they attempted to get me via my phone, but messages and calling, but I didn't hear it. And I woke, that was about 8:22, I woke up at 10 o'clock and saw this message and went up into immediate panic and went downstairs and I said, you know, apologized, and they said they would talk to me today. Well, you can imagine what kind of night I had. I was doing the wellness stillness meditation plus the Course in Miracles lesson for yesterday was the peace of God is shining in me. And everything I could possibly do in releasing the emotions that were coming up. So this morning I did a worksheet on about four emotions that I wrote down. One was guilt, one was fear. One was, I think the third one was on frustration. And I go back and I refer to, I take each one of these thoughts or feelings that I have, and I look at the emotion thought chart to get a clearer idea of where the basis is on that. And the frustration one is interesting because it's under the listing of lust. And I've been looking at that.
Say the word again, under the listing of?
Lust, L-U-S-T.
Okay.
All right, so I'm finding, before I thought that I had more association with the fear list of emotions, but as I've been going through the lust words under the lust emotion, I find that I'm identifying with a lot of those, and those kind of lead into the not listening. And another word, so the frustration was under the lust, and another word under the lust was obsession. And I was trying to work through why I had the perfect opportunity for that somebody wanted to listen to me, and I sabotaged it and basically, as I call it, ROH, wrapped myself on the head.
And so you set it up perfectly to sabotage yourself.
I absolutely did. I shut the phone, which I normally don't do during the meeting. And I mean, it was just like I did a cancel the thought, brain dump, and completely wiped out the fact that they would be waiting for me. So.
And then went into unconsciousness.
And went into unconsciousness. So
it sounds like you're processing unconsciousness in that regard. The other one that, when you talked about the worksheets that you did, it sounds like the main worksheet would be on panic.
Did you do any there? No, I've got a whole list. I just got through the motion, so I have not gotten to that one. My question that I wanted to ask was, or I would like to get a little bit more insight into the emotion list of lust, because initially, as you said, we change word, you know, change the meanings of words. And I think within the religious environment, lust becomes a sexual thing. And yet that was only one of the words in a list of about 50 words. And so.
Yeah, basically it's a desire for.
Right. And so if you could do a little bit of clarity or insight into that whole column of words on the lust and how it would relate to not being listened to, and sabotaging and such like that.
Well, again, lust would fit in with a desire for something. And so if my desire is to be listened to, that would be, you know, for me, that would be the way that that would get into the lust column. But what I'd rather do actually at this moment is to take you back to, because I noticed that the main word that you used when you described your response to what happened last night, mm-hmm. and the one that had the most emotional charge behind it in my listening, was panic.
Yeah,
And then you went on and did some other things, and then as soon as I brought the panic up, it's like, okay, and now we're going to go on to this other conversation, like, don't take me there, I don't want to go there. And my thought would be that you might want to let yourself just take a few breaths and look at it. And panic is usually about what kind of consequence is going to come about as a result of this. You know, when I was a kid, what kind of consequences came about when I disappointed someone or I didn't do what they wanted me to do? And it sounds like perhaps that panic might open a whole field of inquiry for healing those early dynamics that reflect here.
Okay, I will be interesting, because when I had my whole list, and when I go back, I will look, because I was writing as fast as I could as they were rolling out. I'm not sure that panic was one of the emotions I felt then, or consciously felt, but yet I agree with you, is that when I just opened the conversation, that was the word I used. Guilt was actually the stronger one that I was working with. So that's an interesting note that had come up.
Right. So, and it can just be really useful to watch your words. And, you know, in spontaneous conversation, you know, sometimes we'll measure our words. Well, you know, this happened and I had frustration around it because I really don't want to open that file on panic. But in your spontaneous conversation, that seemed to be the word with the energy behind it, and I think might be the word that would bear the most fruit if you were to do some forgiveness around it.
Okay, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. So I thank you for that, and I will keep looking at that. I don't know if panic's under the lust line or not, but I'll check that out, where panic is.
I would suspect panic is probably under fear. And usually, for me, panic would tie into, my mind goes to the consequences. What are they going to do to me? What's going to happen here? What are they threatening? What do I have fear about them doing? And so I'd open and do worksheets in that whole arena, and bring resolution to any mind energy that could manifest in that direction, free yourself of it, and be empowered to create a different result.
I think you're right. The panic, although it didn't surface at that time, I felt guilty because a person had set up the situation to give me an opportunity to speak, and then I had not only sabotaged myself, but I had sabotaged that person. And
right.
So that was my predominant thing, was that they would, but then there was the fact that they would be mad at me. And when somebody is
so mad, that would be one of the consequences.
Right. The consequences of mad would be I got wrapped on my head. So
how about a mind shifter?
Yes, I'll take one.
So how about,
let me see if I
got a pen handy? Sure. While you're getting a pen, I'll just briefly, for anybody that's new to the mind shifter idea, share the idea of a mind shifter. And basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Brenda a thought that I'm going to invite her to write down. Take a piece of paper and split the page in two and write this thought on the left side of the page. And then on the right side of the page, write every response that the mind has to that thought. Every thought, every feeling, every sensation. Take a time frame of 2 hours. Turn off the phone, be totally in your own space, and just write that mind shifter, write the thought we're going to share, and then do kind of a brain dump on the opposite side of the page of everything that comes up in response to it.
Okay.
So the mind shifter I'd suggest would be, and of course, until you get the idea of how a mind shifter works, this might sound ridiculous, but the idea of a mind shifter is to find the right energy that is a catalyst that will show us the hidden parts of our minds around a given issue. So that's the purpose of the mind shifter. The mind shifter is not designed to be an affirmation, oh, let's pretend everything's wonderful. The mind shifter is designed to show us hidden parts of the mind. So the mind shifter I would suggest is, it's safe and healing, and I love it.
Okay.
When people are enraged, punish me. Enraged with and want to punish me.
Right.
And then just see what that dumps, what file that activates and what that dumps out on the page, and you may get to another level beneath that rap in the head.
Working at doing at least
I lost you there for a second. If you could say that again.
Pardon me?
I say you cut out there for a second. If you could say that last sentence again, I didn't hear it.
I have been working with mind shifters, both on paper and when I'm at work and I can't do it on paper and something comes into my mind, then I set up a mind shifter and look at what immediately comes up. So this will be good to do a mind shifter.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, Michael, Tim, Jeannie, thank you very much, and you have a wonderful day.
Yeah, Brenda, I just want to acknowledge you for how you stick to your work and how powerful your integrity is with your work. It's pretty awesome to watch. I've been watching you do that for years, and it's just really cool to watch you keep moving through the layers and keep moving. It's pretty powerful. Nice work.
Afraid to be through these layers, but
I got it. I hold the space for sure.
And the results after I had done all the worksheets this morning, when I talked to two of the parties involved, it was like, oh, don't worry about it. It's not a big thing. And so it was just another example of how we create our own world within our own mind. And that is a nice reinforcement. So I will sign off
cool.
to listen to the program.
All right. Blessings.
Thank
Much
you.
Appreciation for you. And for those who are not on our station where we can see your information on our control panel, we have a phone number that you can call. If you're listening and you don't have that phone number, you've got something you'd like to share with us, a question, a way we can support you, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. So if you dial that number, or if you go to our website, there's a link to the show on our website, and our website is whyagain.org. If you click that link, there's a Skype button. You can also Skype into the show, so... We would love to hear your voice and see what we can do to support you. So, Jeannie, anybody
yes,
else with a hand up?
Yes, we do have another caller, and it's area code 517. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello, Michael.
Hey there. Who are we talking to?
This is Lorelei, Sally's friend from Florida.
Well, hey, it's nice to hear your voice. How are you, young lady? We haven't talked to you in a while.
Exactly. I'm just doing so well. And I wanted to call and just thank you so much for the tools. Still using them and just, it's so effective. It's so freeing. And it's such a joy to be able to experience love during the day. So just
all right.
Love. I know. It's just so amazing. So thank you, and thank you. And I'm still doing it, like Brenda just said. It's always doing the worksheets and not reacting. There's such a freedom
cool.
to realize it all can be, and it all was, and it's all okay. And not to have to resonate that insane energy is just it's so powerful.
Don't have to lug it around, you know, when you watch how people just get so lost in that, and it's like, don't you know there's a way to get rid of that? And most
right.
people, sadly, don't have a clue that it's possible. It's like
no, and it's doing those worksheets and changing that that carbon-based memory, it's just so powerful in that release. And doing them every day, some days multiple that, you know, feed on each other. And then also the mind shifter and just having it in my head now so I don't have to cover it, as we had talked about, with the affirmations.
Right,
and just
right.
To be cool. Love is so much more powerful. So thank you. It's a celebration of a lot of changes, a lot of growth, a lot of, and really the other thing too is, as I resonate more love and understand love, I'm being challenged to go deeper, to go higher, to be more, and releasing. You know, when the frequencies are aligned and I'm powerful in that space, then to be challenged to let go of more stuff. Yeah, it's a journey.
Cool. Well, it's glad to hear you're so alive and excited about your life and about your world. It's interesting. I actually just talked to Sally yesterday for the first time in a while, and
good.
So it's interesting that you're tapping in. She just actually did some editing on the Enlightenment book for us, and so waiting to get that from her. And so. Cool.
Yeah,
how's your daughter doing?
She's actually doing really well, but very separate from me. I think you could call we had sort of in some aspects a divorce, because we were so intimately connected with our strange relationship of only being alive together, right? And so she really took off on a different tangent and was pretty aggressive about it, and again, not reacting, me holding this space, understanding that that's her walk, her journey. I send her stuff all the time with you, and I think privately she's doing really well, not connected to me. So we have a lot of insane energy that we created with each other, and it has to heal, and we have to do the healing separately.
And well, I'll support you, and we'll hold the space
you.
that can move gently and easily, and the truth is that you can heal together, too.
Yeah, and so when she talks to me, she holds the mirror up in front of herself, understanding that if she's resonating stuff about me, it's her, and we know that. We know it. It's just that I resonate that kind of reaction in her, and so she has to deal with that. And so she'll call and say, you don't approve, and say, oh, if you're the one with the pain, you're the one with the problem, go do your worksheet. So she has space now to do that. But thank you for asking, and it's a journey. It's an endless.
Cool.
I said, we have the rest of our life to work on it, right? And
yeah,
it's so exciting to be alive. It's such a great time. There's so much good energy out here. When I'm resonating that love, I feel it, right? So it's there all the time. And then if I know, the minute I feel that, I resonate a reaction, it's like, oh, that's my stuff. I got to deal with it.
Next piece of work. Very cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Very cool. So thank you so much and supporting you all the time. Absolutely.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I didn't
nice to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you
blessing.
So much.
Alrighty. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Cool. Always nice to watch the load be lifted. So we've got time for another conversation or two, Jeannie. Anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Okay, I had to unmute myself there. Nobody has a hand up, and Camille had to leave the chat room. She said she'd catch the rest of the show on the archives. But so everybody else in the chat room are guests, so nobody else can say anything there without signing in, and no one has their hand up.
Okay, well, we'll just invite anyone who is a guest in the chat room to take a look at. It's really very easy to sign in to Blog Talk and be able to interact in the chat room, ask questions, make comments, that sort of thing. So awesome to have this technology available to us. It's really very powerful to just have so much wonderful technology that, you know, we could be sitting here in Theodosia, Missouri, and Dr. Tim's in Chicago, and, you know, Michelle is in Michigan, and Rex is in Michigan, and somebody else is in France, and here we are, community, global through this awesome technology. So thank you to every mind. You know, when you think about how many billions of human hours of creativity have been put into the simple fact that I can sit here with a little piece of wire in my hand and you get to hear the impact of molecules of air that leave my voice box, press over my voice box, and through this technology, here you are on the other side of the world listening. I mean, talk about an awesome time to be alive and appreciation for what we have. I mean, we're sitting on the shoulders of giants, as someone said, and in this case, you know, how many billions of hours to invent the, just, you know, to make copper wire, to create the broadcast systems, the receiving systems, the glass, to have a piece of glass on the front of the phone, to have a light bulb in behind it, to LEDs that light up a screen, to having this little tiny, you know, microphone that has a sensor in it that vibrates, it moves and creates electricity that moves through the wire that then gets broadcast out to a radio station up in New York and then gets rebroadcast so that you can hear it. I mean, what a blessing, what a gift, what an awesome opportunity we have as human beings. And just the simple fact of getting to have a human life is so amazing. And what amazes me even more is that with all of that at our disposal, people can find things to whine and complain and cry about and to be miserable about, to the point of, sadly, in many cases, taking their own lives simply because they don't know. They don't know that if there is hostility or fear within your physiology, it's removable. It can be forgiven. If you haven't accessed the forgiveness technology, we invite you to go to our website. Again, it's whyagain.org. In the middle of the page, you'll see a bullseye. And if you click that bullseye will open a whole series of links for how to do the forgiveness process, how to engage it, how to practice it. It is so different and so backward from what we've been taught and how we've been taught to think that it takes some time to get used to. But if you'll stay with it long enough, you will see a world that is unfathomable from the normal, the mind, the norm of the culture's mind of hostility and fear. It's just amazing. And so we're also blessed that we have that technology. That, and, you know, the technology comes from 2,000 years ago, and it's been hidden for almost 2,000 years, and what we're looking to do is to reestablish the global awareness of how forgiveness works, and that there is no reason to be, except that we hold within us energies that create our pain, and that there is technology available with which you can remove all pain-producing frequencies. Now, if you believe that something or somebody outside of you is the cause of your pain, your mind's lying to you, and love truth enough to go, so if I'm in pain, there's something in me that I can forgive and be free of my pain. Yes. Well, okay, this situation and that situation don't cause your pain. They only reflect to you your pain. The situations are never cause. What's going on within is cause. And when you change cause, effects change. Everything starts to shift. And that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to understand ourselves and to spread that understanding to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. We invite your support. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. That would be awesome. And in the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's a great gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.